And so when I think of Christmas, I think of the coming of my King. Why do I celebrate Christmas? Because it's the fulfillment of God's promise. Because I recognize that God has come to be with us, Emmanuel. Because it brought forgiveness for my sin. Because it is a recognition of God's indescribable gift. And because He's my King. He's my King.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Why Christians Celebrate Christmas. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Why Christians Celebrate Christmas.
That you are actually celebrating the pagan holiday and you are worshiping an idol. But let me, and I'm going to ask this question. And again, this might not be a strong argument for some, but I'm going to ask this question. How many people, after you put up your Christmas tree and you decorate it, that you stand in front of it and bow down and say, "Almighty Christmas tree, we worship you"? Okay, I didn't do that. You know, and I don't think that, you know, anybody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, and mind, I don't think that that's what they do. So now, you know, there's been years I haven't put up a Christmas tree because, you know, just didn't have time. And so there's people that don't put up Christmas trees. There's nothing wrong with that. If you decide to not put one up, that's fine. But if you put one up, I would just say this. You know, don't let anybody put you on a guilt trip. You know, don't let anybody tell you that you are cutting down a tree, you are decorating it, and you are worshiping an idol. Because if you go back and look at those two passages, that was the gist of the passage. That once they cut down the tree and once they decorated it, they worshiped it. They turned it into a god. And so that's the prohibition there. So having a Christmas tree, as some would tell you, is not a form of idol worship. Now, there are other things that have been associated with Christmas that people, again, take back to the pagan traditions. The one is lighting candles. And during pagan celebrations, they would light candles to drive out evil spirits. That was one of the reasons they did it. And then they would ring bells in the pagan tradition. And the reason that they rang the bells was to try to stay off the cold and the darkness. And then another thing that they would do is they wouldn't necessarily give gifts to each other. But I was reading one tradition where they actually worshiped the goat and they gave gifts to the goat. And so these were some of the things that the pagans do. And so people will say, well, look, how can you celebrate Christmas when there's a lot of pagan rituals associated with this? And so a lot of Christians from this standpoint, they choose not to celebrate Christmas. But, you know, again, and this is what I told the guy that I was talking to. I said, well, you know what? Christmas for me is a time when I worship Jesus in my heart. It's a time when I acknowledge Him. And you know what he told me? He said, Bill, he said, that's just a cop-out. And so, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, this brother was just so adamant about it that, you know, no arguments or nothing that I could say to him was going to change his mind. So when I look at these things right here, you know, when I light candles, you know, my wife had these little Christmas trees with lights in them, and we put them in our windows. You know, it wasn't to drive out any evil spirits. You know, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, lighting up. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. You know, he said that for this reason, he came into the world, that he might bring light to chase the darkness away in John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. So when I have a light, when we light the Advent candles, I don't think that we lit these candles to drive away evil spirits. You know, we lit the candles to recognize the fact that Jesus came as the light of the world. And even when, you know, we ring bells, you know, you ring the bells as a believer, not to drive out the forces of the cold and the darkness, but you ring the bells because you are welcoming the spirit of Christmas, the fact that the Savior is born, the fact that Jesus came, and these bells are making a joyful noise unto the Lord. So again, you know, the brother would have told me, well, yeah, that's just a cop-out, you know, again. And then we give gifts. And why do we give gifts? Well, you know, we can look at the scripture and see the main reason that gifts are associated with Christmas is because of the wise men. And that when the wise men came, they brought gifts. So again, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, a lot of people will tell you that there were three wise men. So the Bible doesn't say there were three wise men. It just says that there were wise men. So there could have been two, or there could have been way more. If you go back and you study, wise men in the culture, you look at the fact that a lot of times they had entourages, and that when they traveled with these entourages. And so, now this is in my reasoning, right? If it was just three, they could have kind of crept into town, found out where Jesus was at, worshiped, and then left. But what happened? They drew attention. This is what leads me to think that there was a whole bunch of them. They drew attention. And Herod saw all these wise men. And it drew his attention. Why? Because he felt threatened because he was the king. And so he said to the wise, well, hey, when you find out where he's at, let me know so I can go worship him too. So, that leads me to think that, that these wise men caught the attention of the city and even of Herod. And they went to Herod, but, there was something about that. So again, there was more than three wise men. But I like 2 Corinthians. You go back to that previous slide. I like 2 Corinthians 9:15, where it says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that we can receive. There's no gift that can compare to Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we celebrate gift giving not only because we see it in the wise men, but we also see that God gave the greatest gift. And so, as I give a gift, I'm thinking about, and we should think about, God gave me his great gift. Let me share gifts, with other people. So now here's the next reason why a lot of Christians are not associating with Christmas. It is because it is so commercialized. And so a lot of Christians say, well, it just has become so commercial that I don't want to have anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, I was doing some research and found out that the average adult Christian will spend $830 this year on Christmas gifts. That's the average. Some of y'all might say, well, I'm not an average. So, the people I'm giving gifts to are not going to be blessed like that. But But the average, according to the financial reports, will spend $830. So, if I'm a Christian and I see this, then I could become so adamant that I want to move away from that I begin to say, well, I'm not going to associate with Christmas at all because it has become too commercialized. And, I think that, there are some people that, they don't celebrate Christmas, and then they will say because it's associated with pagan holidays and all this and that. And I think that the driving force in their heart is not the fact that it's associated with pagan holidays, but the fact is that you don't want to give a gift to anybody. You're just too cheap and stingy. You'll hold a dollar until it hollers, right? So you just found a good reason, right, to say, well, I don't celebrate Christmas. Because you're just stingy. That's why you don't celebrate it. All right. So, let's be honest, saints. This is a very good point right here. Very good point. That it has become so commercialized that we lose the meaning. And that's what I'm saying. That if we as Christians don't hold on to Christmas, if we don't hold on to it, it's just going to get lost in the morass of everything else. And then it'll just be, something that we do on December 25th. I mean, the fact of the matter is that it's already not even called Christmas season anymore. It's called the holiday season. That's why, when I go shopping, I make it a point to say to people, Merry Christmas. And a lot of people say Happy Holiday. I say Merry Christmas because that's what I'm focusing on. That's what I'm focusing on. So, as we look at the idea of celebration, Why should Christians celebrate Christmas? Why should we? You know, some Christians are making a good argument. They're making a very good argument. It's associated with pagan holiday activity, too commercialized. But why should we celebrate? Well, the meaning of the word celebration is to observe a notable occasion with festivities. To observe a notable occasion with festivities. Now, my mind always goes back because, you know, it says that we should do like Jesus did, okay, that Jesus is our example. So my question is, did Jesus celebrate noble occasion? Well, yeah, he did. He went to a wedding. He celebrated that. As a matter of fact, he turned water into wine at the wedding. Right? Now, we can argue and debate whether it was, you know, fermented or not fermented. That's not my point this morning. You know, actually, I got a teaching that I do on it. If you want it, I'll give it to you. Was the wine fermented or unfermented? But he did go to this wedding, and he did celebrate. In John chapter 10, verses 22 and 23, Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. If you go back and look at that, well, let's look at that passage. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And he celebrated Hanukkah, a.k.a. Festival of Lights, a.k.a. Feast of Dedication. John chapter 10. And so we know that Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday that they are celebrating this time of the year. And so we see in John chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, and it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication. And it was winter. So this is Hanukkah. So if you go and, you know, look up, if you Google, I know many of you, while I preach, you Googling. So if you Google Feast of Dedication, you will see that it's also referred to as the Festival of Lights or Hanukkah. And look what happened. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. So Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. Jesus also celebrated Passover. And Passover was the deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt. And Jesus celebrated that. Matthew 26, verses 17 through 19. That's where he instituted the Lord's Supper. So there's no question that Jesus celebrated notable occasions. Now, is the birth of Christ a notable occasion? Amen. Now, if you don't believe that, let me just run this through. 13 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the birth of Christ. It was promised through the seed of Abraham. It was promised through Isaac. He was to come out of the tribe of Judah. If you continue on. He was born in the family of Jesse. He was born in the house of David. This is number six is absolutely astounding that 600 years before Christ was born, Micah prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. He was born of a virgin. Isaiah prophesied that he would be worshipped and presented gifts by kings, that the shepherds would worship him. We read that in the Psalms, that there would be weeping for the children of Rachel. And we see that in Matthew chapter 2. That he would have to, his parents would have to flee into Egypt, that he would be called Lord, and that he is the Son of God. So these are 13 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the birth of Christ. So I think that we have to agree that the birth of Christ is a notable occasion. And what is the definition? Can you go back to that definition, Brother Chuck, of a celebration? To observe a notable occasion with festivities. Well, if the Old Testament said that so much about the birth of Christ, to me that's kind of notable. And I think that it ought to be celebrated. Now, you know, the thing is, again, I'm not trying to bust anybody's bubble, but the fact of the matter is that Jesus probably was not born on December 25th. You know, there was a man by the name of, I think his name was Judas Africanus, and he tried to estimate. He went back and figured some stuff out, and he figured out that it was around December. Many people believe that Jesus was not born on December 25th for two reasons. Number one is that it was during the winter time, and shepherds would not have been in the field during the winter. So they would have probably been, you know, had their sheep, you know, somewhere else, and they wouldn't have been out in the fields during the winter. And the second reason is because Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem to be taxed. And the chances are that, you know, Mary being pregnant, Joseph, that they wouldn't have been required to travel during the winter months. And so this leads us to believe that, you know, Jesus was not born on December 25th. And the fact that the shepherds were out in the field probably means that he was born in the spring of the year, or maybe into the summer. So again, not trying to crush your ideas and your thoughts about Christmas, but I think, and I know, hopefully I get an amen on this. I think that whenever it is, whether it's May 12th or June 15th, that Christians should take out a day to celebrate the birth of Christ. You know, whenever it is. I mean, if we just took another day, it's in the summertime, then that would be fine with me. But you know, the church of the past has decided to do it on December 25th. Hey, I have no problem with that. Yeah, I know it's associated with a pagan holiday. Yeah, I know it's associated with pagan. I know all that. But I still think that we should celebrate the birth of Christ. And so when we look at the Bible, there are people who celebrated the birth of Christ. The angels celebrated the birth of Christ. They praised God. They had a party in the skies when they announced the birth of Jesus. The wise men, even though it was sometimes later, okay, it was sometimes later. I'm saying that because the wise men were not there at the nativities. You know, they weren't there. So again, you know, if you got wise men, put them in your neighbor's yard. And if your neighbor won't let you, then just put them at the end of your yard. All right. But the wise men celebrated the birth of Christ. Simeon, you know, he was a prophet, and he was looking for the coming of the consolation of Israel. And he celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. And then there was a lady named Anna, and she was in the temple, and she celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. If you go on. So this is my message today, and we'll be done, and let you go home and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And why do we celebrate? You know, why is it that Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, the first one is because it's the fulfillment of God's promise. The fulfillment of God's promise. God promised that he was going to send a Savior. He promised that he was going to send the Messiah. And you know, if you go back, way back to the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, in Genesis 3:15, God said that the woman would have a son or a seed, and that the serpent, who was the devil, would bruise his heel, but that the son would crush the devil's head. And that was a reference to the resurrection, the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, that Satan bruised his heel. But when he rose from the dead, he crushed the head of Satan. And so way back in Genesis 3:15, God promised to send a Messiah. And when Jesus was born, that promise was fulfilled. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. When Jesus was born, that promise was fulfilled. Excuse me, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Messiah, or a Savior, or a promised one, who is the Christ of the Lord. God promised to send a Messiah. Secondly, why do I celebrate Christmas? Because I recognize that this is God who came to earth. That when we couldn't save ourselves, when we couldn't do anything for ourselves, God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. You think about Jesus coming, and you go back to the Old Testament, the psalmists couldn't sing it out, the prophets couldn't preach it out, the law couldn't rule it out, only God could get it out. And God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be with us. The choir sang so beautifully about this morning, Emmanuel.
What does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means God with us. Why do I celebrate Christmas? Because it brought the hope of salvation from our sins. That there was hope that as I look at Christmas, it symbolizes the fact that I would have forgiveness for my sins. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. In verse 21, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. When I think about Christmas, I think about the fact that Christ came to save me from my sin. Because it is a recognition that I celebrate Christmas, because it is a recognition of God's greatest gift. That whenever I celebrate and I acknowledge Christmas, I say, God, that you have given a gift that no other can give. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, if you could put that up there. That if when I celebrate Christmas, I'm saying that God has given me a gift unlike any other. As a matter of fact, it's called God's unspeakable gift. Somebody else called it God's indescribable gift. Everybody here, that if you open any presents already, or when you open presents after a while, that you look at that and you could tell somebody exactly what it is. You could describe it, if you're looking at it in your hand, you could describe it to a T. But God's gift is indescribable. You can't describe the gift of God. Because there's so many dimensions of it. You know, when you think about justification and sanctification and adoption and union with Christ and propitiation, man, there's just so many dimensions to this great salvation that we have that you can't even begin to explain it. It's indescribable. And then why do I celebrate Christmas? I celebrate Christmas because in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, it is the birth of my king. And when the wise men came, they said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Jesus is my king. When we think about all the things that can happen, and we think about the kings that have come and the kings that have gone, we see that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is my King. That's my King. And so when I think of Christmas, I think of the coming of my King. Why do I celebrate Christmas? Because it's the fulfillment of God's promise. Because I recognize that God has come to be with us, Emmanuel, because it brought forgiveness for my sin, because it is a recognition of God's indescribable gift, and because he's my king. He's my king.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of What Child Is This? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Why Christians Celebrate Christmas, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Why Christians Celebrate Christmas. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Why Christians Celebrate Christmas. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.